Hallelujah. Praise God. It's just a joy and a pleasure to be with you all again today and just get to be in your presence and just enjoy the move of the Holy Spirit. And just the worship was just absolutely, you know, women with their makeup, you have to be careful, especially if you're going to get up and stand in front of you. Amen. Hallelujah. But folks, we've come today, and I want to say, let's have church.
Yes.
They used to sing a chorus, come on everybody, let's have church. Amen. We're having church this morning. It's already begun. And then as we get into the Word of God, it's going to be, I believe, food for our souls. It's going to challenge us. And if we're sitting under the Word and not being challenged, there's something wrong with us, because God uses His Word to help us to produce in our life and to amount to something for Him. My desire is to be what He wants me to be and to be successful. Amen. I just don't want to just be here and... I want to amount to something in the kingdom of God. And that's what we're studying for, and that's what we're thinking about this morning. If I was going to put a text, a title on what I'm going to say this morning, I would say, go and tarry. Go and tarry. And I'm going to bring you some scriptures on it. I just believe God is going to give us a brand new opening to some of the things in the Word of God that maybe that we haven't quite understood, or we haven't moved into the areas totally that God wants to take us. But by the faith of the living God, today our hearts are going to be pricked to where that we will say, Lord, I want it, I want it, I want everything that you have for me. I don't want anything left out. Amen. I want the whole enchilada. I want it all. Don't give me a half of an enchilada. I want one and probably more. Amen. But I want everything this morning that God has for me. And even though I'm on my exit tour, I'm here to tell you I'm still believing God for great and mighty things. And He is still bringing them to me and offering them to me and using me. And I pray that until the day that Jesus comes and I go by way of the rapture, or if it's by the way of the grave, I still want to be motivated by the Holy Ghost and moving in the power of God. Because without Him, we are nothing. But with Him and through Him and by Him, we can do all things.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Thank God I learned that very young. Oh, and it's paid off. Praise God, has it ever paid off? And you're going to hear a few of the things today, how it paid off for me. And I'm here to tell you it can pay off for you if you have a mind to seek after God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, my Lord. Well, if you have your Bible, go to the book of Acts. Amen. First chapter. Going to read a few verses in that first chapter. First, I'm going to read the fourth verse, Acts 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Now we're in red letters. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. 8th and 9th verse. But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power.
Amen.
Ye shall receive power.
Amen.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now Jesus is giving here a command. We've always heard, and I've heard it said many times, probably preached on it that way, that the last commission that Jesus gave was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, which is a great commission. But these are the very last words that Jesus said. He said, I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem until you are filled and running over with the Holy Ghost. I'm going somewhere. Amen. This is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says after that he spoke these words that he was taken up. He's standing there with his disciples. The last words that he says is go. Go and wait or go and tarry for the promise of the Holy Ghost that I am going to send. Hallelujah. Amen. So this was what they were to do. Amen. And the scripture says that they returned to Jerusalem. And they went into an upper room. And in this upper room, there were the disciples. And there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women. And it said that it totaled a figure of about 120 people. Now there was a reason that there had to be 120 people there. Everything in the Word of God has a reason. Yes. The thus and the thous and the these and the thuses, they have a meaning. So there was a meaning that they should have 120 people in this upper room meeting, because this was a Jewish law that for things to be legal, they needed to have a quorum or a group that would be at least 120 people, because they were going to do business for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, we're in business for the kingdom. We're just not here because, well, there wasn't anything good on TV this morning. All the little comedies were on, and I really didn't want to watch them. But we're here. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. We're here to get equipped. Amen.
Amen.
I'm getting my armor on. Hallelujah. I'm putting it on. My breastplate. I'm just going to get all girded up this morning. Shot up and ready to go up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So here they were in this upper room. But they had a piece of business that they had to take care of. And it tells us that they were going to vote, elect, whatever you want to call it, who was going to take Judas' place, who had fallen from grace, son of perdition, I believe the scripture calls him. But he had to be replaced because they had to have the 12. 12 is a number of authority. They had to have the 12. So they cast lots, we would say. They voted on it. And I understand that this is the last time in the New Testament. They did it a lot in the Old, but I think this was the first and only time that they cast lots. So they cast lots for who would be the one that would fill Judas' place. And it said that the lot fell on Matthias. So Matthias is the 12th apostle. I've kind of wondered about it. You know, the Bible says that all the gates, they're going to have the names of the apostles. And I thought, you know, Judas' name won't be there. But I guess Matthias's will be. And they'll all have the names of the apostles of the church. Hallelujah. That started this thing on the road. Glory be to God. Hoyamakata. So Matthias was chosen. And then when they could kindly stopped the business part of it. They said, okay, now we're going to get down to the business of prayer. We're going to get down to the business of what the master told us to do immediately before that he was taken up. Glory be to God as they watched him go up. They said, okay, I've got to go now, and I've got to find my place just exactly like the Lord told me to do. How many of you know that when God tells you to do something, you better do it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't question him. Lord, if I'd have questioned him, I wouldn't have done nothing. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. Amen. But you don't question God. You just say, okay, Lord. Yes, sir. I'm off and on it. Praise God. Whatever you tell me to do, I've just got just, well, maybe it's enough sense or a little enough. I don't know which. But I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. Amen. And I'm here to tell you it pays off. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. So now they've gone into this upper room now for another purpose of the upper room, and they're going in there to wait upon the Lord. He said, don't leave. Don't leave.
Amen.
Don't leave until you get what you need.
Yes.
Stay before God, folks. If you're waiting on God for an answer, if you're waiting on God for a purpose, if you're waiting on God for your call, whatever that it is, just keep waiting. Wait until you know that you know that you know that you know that you heard from God and that you're moving out now in the things of the Lord, what He has told you to do. Praise God. And He said, you wait until you are filled with my spirit. Jesus had told him, he said, I've been with you, but I've got to leave now. But he said, you know, all I can do is just work with the people that I'm in front of. But he said, I'm going to send you somebody that's going to be with you all the time. He is going to live inside of you. Ooh, glory to God. Where I go, the Holy Ghost goes. I just take him right along with me. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, wherever you go, you take him with you. Praise be unto God. You go nowhere that he does not go. Hallelujah. They used to tell us, because we, the early church folks, it was so legalistic, it was pathetic. You know, if you go in there, the Holy Ghost won't go in there with you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he goes. Amen.
Yeah.
He may convict you. You may feel that you shouldn't be there, but I guarantee you he'll be right there with you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise be unto God. So he said, you go now, and I am going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and he's just going to be inside of you, and he's going to speak through you. He's going to direct you. He's going to use you. He's going to prompt you and tell you everything that you need to know. He's going to tell you things to come. Oh, yes, he does. Amen. And I'll tell you about some of that in a minute. But God will tell you what's down your road. God will tell you what he's got for you. He'll tell you how he's going to do it. As we stay before him, we begin to understand what the Holy Ghost has in store for us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm still a listening and I'm still a hearing. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You may be walking across the room like I was in the living room, and I heard God speak to me just as plain as if it had been audible, but it wasn't. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but even so much the more as you see the day approaching, you need to be in my house. Amen. I said, yes, sir. And I went out and I found a church where God wanted me to be, a place where they allowed the Holy Ghost to move and the gifts to operate and people to hear the word of God as it went forth. And I thank God for that day. Amen. That's where I am now, up there. Yeah. Well, the church is in Spokane. Amen. Woo, glory. I love that church. And I love those people. I love God's people. I don't care where they are. And I've been a lot of places and seen a lot of God's people. But I'll tell you, I love them. Amen. They're my brothers and they're my sisters in the Lord. You see, God's my Father and I'm Jesus' sister, and that royal blood that flows in Jesus flows in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't have ordinary whatever kind of blood it is. It's Jesus' blood.
Yes.
Folks, if you know Jesus this morning, you've got royal blood that's flowing through your veins. Woo, glory to God. I'm going to preach myself happy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So here they were. They were waiting. Waiting on the Lord. The Bible declares and teaches us that they waited for 10 days. Say, oh, I wouldn't wait that long. Folks, if I knew what it was before I got it, I wouldn't have left the first time I started tarrying. I'd have still been there if it had took that long. Amen. Oh, such a prize, such a gift. You talk about an unspeakable gift that God gave unto us whenever he filled us with the precious Holy Ghost and offered it as a gift. Glory to God. Glory to God. So after 10 days, it tells us that the Holy Ghost fell. It came down and it lit upon everybody, upon the heads of all the people, all 120. It might have been a little plus that, I don't know. It said about 120 were there, so I'm sure there was 120, maybe more. But the Bible declares that tongues of fire lit upon their heads. Amen. Don't you know that was a sight to behold? You're sitting there and you're looking over at your brother or your sister in the Lord, and there they are. They've got a tongues of fire sitting up on top of their head. Amen. Glory to God. They're being filled. Oh, they're being saturated. They're being taken over by the precious Holy Ghost as the Holy Ghost falls. And they begin to speak with other tongues. Every one of them got a tongue. And it says then when they went out into the streets, they were still talking in tongues. Folks, I'm a tongue talker. Amen. And I tell you, when they went out into those streets, they were still talking in tongues. And the Bible declares that all the people that were in Jerusalem, this was a time of a great gathering in Jerusalem, and there were people there from all over the world of that time, and they went out and they began to talk in the tongues of all those peoples that were there. The Holy Ghost began to manifest itself among them, and they heard the word of God as it was related in their own tongue. Amen. And I want you to notice for sure that the Holy Ghost fell on all.
Yes. Yes.
How many?
All.
A-L-L. All.
That's right. All.
Praise God. Later, Peter got up and he began to preach. And he took his text from Acts 2 and 4. Glory to God. And he began to tell how that the Spirit of God was going to be given out in the last days. And people would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And what all would happen as God began to use them to do his work here on earth. Glory be to God. I don't want to miss anything. Hallelujah. This was the 50th day. This was a special day. It's called the day of Pentecost. It was the feast of Pentecost. It wasn't an accident that it fell on that particular day, because it had been prophesied thousands of years before by the prophet Joel. That, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. They were in one mind, and they were in one accord. And as they began to seek God, praise God, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Now, I've heard people say, we don't have to tarry anymore. I know we don't in the same sense that they did, because it hadn't fallen yet. But folks, I'm going to tell you what. If it takes tarrying, If it takes waiting, call it what you want. If you don't like the word tarrying, use waiting. Amen. Or just sitting still before the Lord. Whatever you want to call it, just get before Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. It took me a while. Oh my. Mm-mm. I'll get to that in a minute. Praise God. God, He wants to get us filled. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. The Holy Ghost showed up in wind. You know, the Holy Ghost works in wind a lot. We've already had some reading out of Revelation, and this is more in the middle, I guess. But we got to tell you something that's in Genesis. Amen. We got to get the first and the last, because Jesus is the first and He's the last. He's the beginning, He's the end, He's the Alpha, He's the Omega. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture declares that when God began doing His work of creation, it said that the Spirit of the Lord brooded, gently moving across. I like to think it was in a wind. He began to blow across the face of the deep, and creation began to start. You can just go on and on about things that God did in the winds. Well, He brought in the Holy Ghost. The earth was ushered with the moving and the wind blowing and brooding upon the face of the earth. And now the church is birthed through a wind. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Oh, don't you feel it? Hallelujah. I feel that gentle wind. I feel that rushing wind as it comes upon us. And we know that the Holy Ghost is just right there. He's moving in our midst. Oh, praise God. So the Holy Ghost comes into our midst, and we have the wind of the Holy Ghost ushering in the church. Amen?
Amen.
The church is God's vehicle, folks.
Amen.
The church is God's vehicle to turn the people back to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus didn't die for nothing.
That's right.
He died that we might be saved. And that we could tell others about Him. Amen? Praise God. Folks, I don't want to get into the kingdom and the end. I'm in it already. But when it comes time to go into the glory realm, I don't want to go in, as Job says, by the skin of my teeth. I want to have an abundant entrance.
Yes.
I want to go in. Oh, Lord, here I am. I just am so glad I finally got to walk in. Glory to God. God's got me. I've got right up to the gates. I've been standing outside of the gates, hearing all the people praising God and worshiping the Lord in a vision. God got me to there, and I was fixing to go in for drastic surgery, but God let me see this so I knew I would live and not die.
Yes.
But I got to those gates and I could hear all of that. And I was just waiting, awesomely waiting. I had been raptured up and went through the first heaven and into the second and into the third. And when I got into that third heaven, the color of the sky changed. It was a blue like you have never seen in your life as I was ushered up. And then there I was standing up in the front of those gates, just waiting to go in. Just standing there waiting. And about that time, I began to feel my descent as I went, and I was back on the earth. God said, "No, honey, it ain't time yet."
Yes.
Praise God, you're not done. You still got some more work for me to do on this earth, so you got to go back. Amen. But I'm so glad He showed me that, because, folks, I would have given up in the natural. I was in St. Joseph's Hospital here for 5 weeks and in rehab another 3 weeks, and then was carried very gingerly back to California and stayed with my sister and my niece for 4 more weeks before I could even make the flight back by myself to Spokane area. I tell you, I just was a goner. My nephew was here the other night, and I didn't know this about it, but he told me, he said, you were in a coma for several days, and I didn't even know that. But when I woke up and knew who I was and where I was laying in a hospital bed, stretched out with IVs all over me, looking down my body, and I didn't even recognize myself. I'd gained 50 pounds. I weighed 170 when I went and 220, and I was in a bed that could weigh me, so there was no mistake. Amen. I'd like for him to lost it, but... They knew exactly what I weighed. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. My kidneys had shut down, and they were just shaking their head. My daughter said, can't you do something for my mother? And they just, there was two surgeons standing at the foot of my bed shaking their head. There was nothing they could do. And one of the surgeons told me, said, Miss Woosley, said, if you don't get out of this hospital, he said, you're going to die. You've got to get out of here. I called my nephew, and before you could flip a quarter, hardly, he came and made arrangements, got me out of the hospital. And the recovery was, it was pathetic. It was so long and so hard. But I remembered God said, no, you got to go back.
Amen.
And I knew God didn't bring me back to kill me.
That's right.
But he had something else for me to do.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, you're in control.
Yes.
And by his grace, he got me through. Mm-hmm. Praise God. You can see that I'm here. Yeah. Amen. And that's been 7 years ago. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter stood up and he proclaimed this prophetic word that was fulfilled in their eyes, that was made by the prophet Joel. Now here is this man that is so bold that he can just stand up and declare the word of God. And just a few hours, a few days before, not many days before, he was the man that said, I don't even know Jesus. What are you talking about? And the Bible said that he cursed. He lied out some kind of a bad expression. And he said, I don't even know that man. What are you talking about? But folks, after he got the Holy Ghost, the good old Holy Ghost in fire.
Yes.
It began to keep him alive.
Amen.
He began to come alive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And he began to preach to him, and he began to tell him. And the Bible tells us how that thousands at a time were saved.
Amen.
Not two or three filled out a card, I received the Lord. Thousands were saved.
Glory.
Amen. And then they got the rumor out all over the world that these crazy people were turning the world upside down. Folks, I want to help turn the world upside down, because when it gets upside down, it'll be right.
That's right.
Yes.
It's upside down right now, as far as I can see it.
Amen.
Amen. But the people were filled with the Holy Ghost. This is now the commandment that the Lord has put in the New Testament, be ye filled with the Spirit. Some people want to say this Holy Ghost stuff and these gifts of healing and all these gifts that they're for the New Testament. Well, folks, we're in the New Testament.
That's right.
Acts does not have an amen on it.
That's right.
Look in your Bible.
That's right.
I guess just about all the others do have an amen, but that one doesn't. So we're still in the Acts of the Apostles.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
And now I'm an apostle that's got the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Are you an apostle that's got the Holy Ghost?
Yes. Amen.
If you're not, you need it.
Yes.
Amen. It's for you.
Amen.
All. How many all?
Yes.
All were filled.
Yes.
Folks, this church, now I'm going to do some prophetic prophecy this morning. This church is going to move for God You are in the formation period. You are in the womb, as it would be. You are there being made that you can come forth and do exploits in the name of the Lord, and that you shall, and that you will. Amen.
Amen.
But God wants this church supercharged.
Amen.
Supercharged with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because you can do things with the Holy Ghost active in you that you never even thought about doing before. Amen.
Amen.
God has laid it upon your pastors to begin this work, and that they have. And God is blessing it. But folks, I tell you by faith this morning, that it will not be much longer until you will see a move of God that you are going to marvel at. You are going to marvel at what God is doing as he brings forth his work in this place. Yeah, there's other churches, but there's a lot of people in this area. There's multiplied thousands. We need a lot of good churches. Amen. We need a lot of good places where people can hear the word of God. But you have made this your church. You have committed and you have said, I'm here for the long haul. I'm here when we're going through the rough places. And I'll shout on the tops of glory when we're going through the good. But I'm in it for the long haul. Amen. So God wants every one of us supercharged and filled with his Spirit. Don't ever let the devil tell you it's not for you.
That's
get
right.
In line and get it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Woo! Well,
amen.
Praise God. That's sermon number one. Ha-ba-ba-ba-ra-ba-ba-ra-ba-kata. Ha-shalamanda. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The church will live. The church will survive. The church will be here as long until Jesus takes us out. And that'll be by way of the rapture. And folks, when we're taken out, the Holy Ghost is out of here.
That's right. That's right.
He didn't come here until Jesus went back. He said, I'm going back to the Father and I'm going to send you another comforter. I can't be with all of you at once. I just want to be. That's what he told him, in other words. But he said, I am going to send another comforter. And whether you're in church and you've got brother, sister, pastor, whoever, deacon, deaconess, whatever, to pray for you, you've always got the Holy Ghost. He's always there. He's always there on the inside of you. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I cannot tell you, I cannot stress to you enough how much you need the Holy Ghost. Oh, you need it running over. You need it poured in, running over, running over, running over. Swimming in it. Get waters that you can swim in. You don't want ankle deep. You don't want just covering your toes. You don't want it up to your knees. You don't want it up to your hips. But you want the water of the Holy Ghost that you can get out in. And you can swim in. Glory to God. Oh, Yabakata Bahaya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Woo! Glory to God. So in the last days, God said, do you believe we're living in the last days?
Yes.
I do. I do believe it. Hallelujah. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Well, this old woman may be dreaming dreams, but she's still seeing visions. Amen. She's still hearing from God, and you can too. Amen. Your says your servants and your handmaidens shall prophesy. They're going to get up and declare the works of God. Hallelujah. God wants us all to be filled.
Amen.
We need to be fully equipped to build his church.
That's right.
Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Ka-ba-ba-ba-ba-ra-ba-ka-ta-ba-sha-ta. I don't know what time it is. Let me see my little clock here. Oh, yeah, I got to preach. Praise God. And now some of these things I'm going to tell you, you may have heard them before. But God said you tell it again today.
Yes.
God knows who's here. God knows what we need.
Yes. Yes.
God saved me when I was just a little girl. About 11 years old. My sister took me to an Assembly of God church in Alhambra, California. Pastor's name was Thomas A. Sandel. I will never forget he and his wife, Nora. They got me started out in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't know what it was all about. They would have what we called altar calls. They don't have them much anymore, but we had altar calls. We always prayed after church was let out. But it had altar benches. And when the preacher would get through, I didn't know what it was, but I said, is it time to go cry? That's all I knew. Now you've got to know I was an 11-year-old girl, a little fat girl that was kind of always put to the side. But nevertheless, I knew it was time to go up to that altar. And so one of those times, there's a song, I can tell you the day, I can tell you the hour, I can tell you the time when the Lord saved me. Well, I can't. Amen. I can't tell you a date. But one of those times, I guess, when I was in that altar pouring my heart out, not really fully understanding what it was all about, Jesus came into my heart and he came into my life and he saved me. Praise be unto God. And of course I kept on going. And it was a while, I don't remember just how long, but it was a while passed by, and we were going to have a revival meeting at the church, and the evangelist's name was Ford. I remember that. After the services, we went into the altars to pray. Well, by then they built a new sanctuary, and we had prayer rooms. And I went into the prayer room with other people, and we were praying. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed some more, and I prayed some more. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I've been doing this now for quite some time. So if you don't get it the first time, don't be discouraged. It'll happen.
Yeah. Amen.
It will happen.
Yes.
Take my word for it.
Yes.
And so here I was just praying, oh God. I was on my knees a while, and I'd cry and pray, and then I'd get tired, and I'd get up, and I'd sit on the bench a while, and I mean, here we are now, we're in the wee hours of the morning. These precious people stayed there with me, because they brought me to church, and I tell you, I don't know why I did it, but all of a sudden, I was sitting there on that bench, and I said, Jesus, Jesus. And then I got louder with another Jesus. Hallelujah. And the next thing I knew, the Holy Ghost hit. And he came upon me. I don't guess there was any tongues of fire. I didn't hear about it if it was. I didn't see him. But I tell you, I began to talk. And I talked and I talked and I talked. And I talked so long they couldn't get me to hush. And my jaws were hurting. I couldn't stop talking. I was I don't know what the language was at that time. But I was talking in tongues. I was a tongue talker now. Certified. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. They took me home and I was still talking in tongues. They got to my house and none of my people, they went to church once in a while. They were probably C&E Christians. They went on Christmas and Easter. I don't remember. But nevertheless, they brought me in and explained to my mother what had happened. And I was still talking in tongues. We in the bedroom area where we were, it was in a great old big house. And I went in the closet where our clothes were. And I put on my gown and I was still talking in tongues. Glory be to God. I couldn't shut up. I don't know when I shut up. Probably when I finally fell asleep. Exhausted in the bed, maybe. But I'm telling you, God filled me with the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's kept me alive up to age 84. And I'm not planning to check out anytime soon or wait on the corner for a bus. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Oh, Yamakata. God is real. He just is real. He's more real than anything in your life, whether you know it or not. Well, he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and when he filled me, I knew this, and I don't know how I knew it, because I think I was baptized in water. I've still got the certificate, and I've still got the business card from that pastor, and I think I was baptized in water in August of 1947, and so, of course, I'd already been saved a while before that, and but I knew that God had called me to preach. You say, how did you know that? You were just a little kid. I don't know how I knew it, but by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
And it wasn't too awfully long before that we moved to Texas. After that, I was born in Texas. My folks went to California, and then we came back to Texas. And I've been here till I had to move away. Texas is still deep in the heart of me, though. I'm telling you that.
Amen.
There's no place like Texas. Praise God. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. But they patted me on the head there at the little church, and they said, well, we're going to see you back as an evangelist. And I didn't say anything. They even wrote it in my little, autograph books. That was pretty famous then, They did that a lot, and I still got it. Amen. I still got my first Bible. And I still got my handprint that I made in kindergarten in 1939. It's got the date on it.
Glory to God.
I still got it. It's glazed, a little pretty green. You may have seen it, Dolly, when you were there. But, I just knew that I was going to be a pastor. Well, folks, now you got to know, there's not a whole lot of lady pastors now, but you take about 70 something years off of that, and there just wasn't maybe Amy McPherson and I don't know, just a very, very few lady pastors.
Amen.
But I knew that's what God called me to do, was that I was to be a pastor. Amen. So I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost doesn't make any mistakes. And what the Holy Ghost puts on your heart, you might as well take it to the bank today.
Yes.
They're closed, but be in line in the morning. Amen? Because if he's told you something in your heart, and believe you me, if he's told you anything, you know it. It's in your spirit, man. You know it. You know that you know that you know. You don't know how, but you know that you know. Amen? And so sure enough, in my ministry, in my years of ministry, I pastored four churches. First one was a church that was already built. And I pastored there about 2 years, I guess. And at that time, I was with the Pentecostal Church of God organization. And the superintendent of our area came by one day, he and his wife. And they were trying to get a church established. This was at Copper's Cove, Texas, right outside of Fort Hood. And they were trying to get a church started. And they had sent five men from the organization. And not a one of them could do it. Not a one of them could stay. They left. They gave up. So they came by and they said, Naomi, what do you think about coming and pastoring this church we're trying to get started? And I said, well, I thought you'd never ask. So I said, sure, I'll do it. So I resigned where I was pastoring, and I started. Now I want you to take heart when I tell you some of these things. The first service, there was myself and my two children. One of them was 4 years old and the other one was 11. And that was the church. That's how we started. My 11-year-old could play the piano. She'd play the piano and we'd sing. We had church the best we could with us three. It wasn't us four no more. It was us three and no more. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But I tell you, I took to the streets. I went out into the highways and the hedges, and I went into my neighborhoods, and I knocked on doors, and I invited people, and I put it in the paper. I did everything that I knew to do, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed in the Holy Ghost, and I asked the Lord to begin to add. And I want you to know He did exactly what I asked Him to do. Glory! He began to add, and he began to add, and they began to come, and they began to come, and the organization had provided a little building there, and it got too small, so we bought, they had some army barracks out there from the post, from the base, that were for sale. We bought one of them and brought it in. It was a great long building, and we set it up, and we put pews in it, and we filled it up. Amen. Glory be to God. And the people began to come, and they filled it all up. One morning, the ladies, we had a certain day of the morning that we went up there, and we had a prayer meeting. We were having a prayer meeting, and the Catholic priests from the big Catholic church there in Copper's Cove came in, and he said, "I want you to tell me about the Holy Ghost." And I said, "I'd be happy to." I told him about the Holy Ghost. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, went back to his congregation, and guess what? They sent him off. They didn't want him. But I tell you, he got the Holy Ghost, and I know he told him. I don't know where he is now. I don't know if he's even still living. I don't know anything about it. But God used us little ladies right there to pray that man through to the Holy Ghost in fire. And he was a different man when he left, because he was endued with power from on high. Well, we got the church where it was full, and you know, we didn't know what else to do. Amen. We were just waiting on the Lord. But early one morning, I got a phone call. And one of the gentlemen that lived across the street, in right there by the church, he said, "Pastor Naomi," he said, "I hate to tell you, but the church is on fire." And I said, "Oh, my Lord." I jumped up out of the bed, and I made it down there as fast as I could. And anyway, when the story was all told, they said it's a total disaster. The insurance said it couldn't be fixed. They gave us our total insurance money. And I said, "Well, I don't want to put it there. I want it on Main Street. Amen. I want to go to Main Street with this thing." Amen. So we started hunting. I got to let you know, in all this, I was married, but I was married to a backslider that was an alcoholic and a whoremonger. You name it. That's what I was living in. I had no help, me and my two little girls. Amen. But I had the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And that's all I needed.
Yeah. Amen.
So don't say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got this against me. I got that against me. I'll stand up by you any day and tell you what I had against me. Amen. But God.
Yes.
That's right.
But God.
Amen.
I don't care what you're believing for. Believe it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
My family was not serving God. My daddy was a drunkard. He was an alcoholic. He was a gambler. He'd stay with my mother a while, and then he would leave and go be with another woman, and then he'd come back. And so anyway, when I got saved, I said, "My daddy's getting saved." And they all patted me on the head and said, "Yeah, that's right, honey." I said, "My daddy's getting saved."
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
I'm telling you this so you'll do it. Amen.
Amen.
My daddy's getting saved. My husband's getting saved.
Yes.
Whatever. And that's what I said. Praise God. I saw my daddy. At about, I'm not real sure of the age, he was elderly, And my mother woke up one morning, she raised up in the bed and looked, and my daddy was at the foot of the bed with his hands raised up, tears coursing down his cheeks. He gave his heart to Jesus. He got saved. I've never, ever, ever seen a man that would witness any more than my daddy everywhere he went. He told the people about Jesus. If he was on a bus, a train, walking downtown, he'd stop the people and tell them about Jesus. He would stand to give a testimony in the church, and the bench would shake in front of him, and tears would course down his face, and he'd tell how God saved him. Amen. I've seen God save brothers, sisters, in-laws, outlaws, whatever. I have seen God save my family one by one by one. And 2 or 3 years ago, I was privileged to talked to my brother on the phone, who is now 88 years old, and I led him to the Lord. Hallelujah. He accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then a while after that, he had to have some real serious eye work, and they didn't think he would ever see. And I said, Jim, I'm praying for you. God is going to heal that. God is going to take care of it. It's something where the bubble gets back in there. I don't know what it's called. But nevertheless, I told him, I said, I'm going to be praying for you, and God is going to heal you.
Yes.
And so I got to hear the testimony. We were talking. He lives in Florida, and we were talking on the phone. And he said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. God spared his eyes. He can see. Glory to God. And he witnesses of the Lord. Amen. Folks, you cannot outdo God. And that husband of mine that was, oh Lord, only God knows. He'd get so drunk, he'd be sitting out on our front porch and fall off in the grass. It was awful. It was awful. But I lived that way for 20 some odd years. But I served God. Nothing was going to stop me. Amen. Hallelujah. But this will curl your toes. Somewhere in there, my first husband, he wanted a divorce because he had met someone else he wanted to marry. So I had to give him his divorce. But God was gracious to me. I was about 40, 41. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be a widow all my life. I want to have a husband. If you want something, call him up and tell him what you want.
Amen.
Amen. I told him that I wanted, well, I put specs on it. I said, Lord, I want him to be in the military, because I was pastoring in the military areas. And I thought it would be so great to go to the commissary. And it is. You save about a third on your groceries, but I just thought that was the neatest thing I ever saw. And that's where I prayed. So sure enough, God be in our midst.
Yes.
He gave me that Paul Newman, and that he was a sharp cookie. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He came into the church. God had spoke to me in visions and in dreams, and he told me that my home record would be Kentucky, and I didn't even know what that meant. But that's Army talk. Wherever you're from, that's your home record. So I came up. I had to go to work besides starting another new church. This was in Killeen, and at this time, and so I drove up in front of the to park, and I saw this car out in the parking lot because I was just getting off of work and coming to church, and it said Kentucky, had Kentucky license plates, and I said, this could be interesting. And so I went on in, and the band and everybody was already there, and they were playing the music, and people was gathering in. And so I saw the gentleman sitting back on the back seat, and I went and introduced myself, shook hands with him, and greeted him, and made him welcome, and went on. And come to find out, he was divorced. He was available. We'll put it that way, okay? Because he was. And so we were in a revival meeting. And the evangelists were staying with me. And it was a husband and his wife that both preached, but she was the one that was preaching this revival. And so they were staying with me. And we were going to have a fish fry at my house. And I had a big house. And she said, I'd like to invite Mr. Woosley. And I said, no, that's fine, because the church was all invited. So he came, and he kept coming to church, and he kept coming to church. And within 6 weeks, we were married. Amen. It was a God thing.
Amen.
Praise God. God answered my prayer. And he did a mighty thing. But I've told you all that to tell you what God did about my first husband. Okay? In the meantime, the years had passed, and my first husband was dying. He was on his deathbed with cancer. And it ended up that my daughter went to try to help him, take care of him, but she had broke her arm, and it was in one of those metal things, and she couldn't even use her arm. So Pastor Gary, my husband, went with her and to help her take care of him. And that he did, because she couldn't do it, really. They just hit it off perfect. And he talked to him about Jesus, and he witnessed to him, and he led him back to the Lord. I knew God was going to save him. He promised it. I knew he would. And he saved him. And I didn't get to see that, but they said that they had a hospital bed there at the house, and said he would lay in that bed and just rub his heels up and down on the mattress, and he said, oh, if I could, I could just dance all over the place. He was hearing bells in heaven. He was ready to go. Amen. Folks, you can't give up on God, and don't think your situation is so hard that it can't be done.
That's right.
So I asked God while we were in that first church, I said, all right, Lord, we got to rebuild. And I said, I want on Main Street. Well, I went out, and I went all over the place, called people, went everywhere trying to find land to build on. And we couldn't touch it. It was multiplied thousands of dollars. And so I had talked to this one lady, and she wasn't interested in selling. And so we were supposed to start building. This was on a Friday. We were supposed to start building, redoing where we were, and just go from there. And I was cooking supper. I was probably frying chicken, making gravy and potatoes, and I'd get you all hungry and be ready to eat. Praise God. But nevertheless, I was cooking and the phone rang. I went over, and it was this lady that they had that land that I had wanted to buy. And it was on Main Street. Amen? And she said, then I was Thomason. I said, Miss Thomason, said, are you still interested in that land that we talked about? And I said, oh, yes. I said, I would love to have been able to have got it. And she said, well, I'll tell you what. And now this was acreage on Main Street, right across the street from a big elementary school on the road that went, one of the roads out to Fort Hood.
Hallelujah.
That, many of those soldiers, they had to go right by. Amen. And she said, are you still interested? Yeah. And she said, well, I'll tell you what. She said, if you all still want it, she said, I'll let you have it for $2,000. I said, I'm on my way. I cut off the chicken, and I cut off the potatoes, whatever I had cooking. I grabbed my checkbook, and away I went. Amen. I bought that land. And we built a beautiful brick church on Main Street, and I stayed there until it was filled up. Even Sunday night services, it was full. I had dentists, I had doctors, I had all kinds of professional people, as well as people just like me, just little ordinary people. But I filled the church up with the anointing of the Holy Ghost that was there, and God used it, and it's still there, and they built onto it. It's bigger. They bought more land, added to it, so that is still going. Amen. And then God said, okay, I want you to resign. I just got it going just really good. God said, I want you to resign this church, and I want you to go over to Killeen. Well, if you know anything about the area, Killeen's on one side, Copper's Cove's on the other side of Fort Hood. So I said, okay. So I resigned that church, and I went over then to Killeen. And at that place, I believe we started with 10 people. It was mostly my family at that time then. But we went over there and we started. And I was kind of dragging my feet just a little bit. And God gave me a dream. He speaks to me so many times in dreams. I want y'all to hear this. I hope you hang in here and hear what I'm telling you, because I believe it'll help your faith. That's what I'm doing this for. Amen?
Yes.
And not just so to hear what happened with me, but I want your faith built this morning, all of you. Amen?
Yeah.
And so God gave me a dream. And I saw this little church, and I saw that there was just cars all around it, but they were fixing to leave. The cars were backing out, and they were leaving. And I knew what God was telling me. It's one of those yes sirs. I knew what he was saying to me. I kind of drug my feet, and I hadn't went on. I was moved to Killeen, but I really wasn't pursuing, like I should have been, getting a church established. So I said, okay, Lord. And I think it was Saturday when God gave me that dream. I said, Lord, Monday morning, I'll hit the road. We'll find a place to meet. We did. We started meeting. We met at the bank, in a bank building for a while. Then we met in the school. We met in one of the schools for a while. And then we were growing, and it came to the point that somebody came and told me about this little church over on the corner of Texas and 4th Street that they wanted to sell. So I went over there, and that was a church that God had showed me. It was just
wow.
as plain as the day.
Wow.
And I said, Lord, this is what you're telling me. So we were able to buy that building, and it wasn't very big, but we bought it. It had a few, we had Sunday school then. It had some classrooms and what have you. And we started having church. Well, folks, it got so full till the people couldn't even get in. Amen. Praise God. I went to work, I told you, and I was working at Woolworth. I had worked in all the different departments, and now they had me up in the office part, and I knew everybody, and they started getting saved. Every head of the department saved began to get saved. The women's, the shoes, the sewing, the electronics. And they all started coming to the church. And it was just like a domino effect. They just kept coming, and they kept coming, and they kept getting saved. And they'd go back, and they'd get somebody else. So I had people that were devout Catholics, and they came. And one of them said, my daughter's being bothered with a curse on her house. Crazy things happening. And I said, take me up there. She took me to Dallas. I went up there and anointed her house and prayed over it, and she never had another problem. She had a crucifix hung up in there, and it had Jesus on it. I said, take that thing down. Jesus is not on the cross, and Jesus is not dead. He's alive. She took it down. She never had another problem. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. So it wasn't long. We had to go and build another church there, and we did. God gave us acreage and property on one of the main streets. It wasn't called Main Street, but it was on the street that the Killeen High School is on. Amen. And it's there till today, still going strong. Amen. Praise God. And then, of course, God brought us to Houston. Amen. I was there pastoring for 30 years. 10, I think, in those other two. And about a couple in that other one, the first one. But nevertheless, God brought us there, and he worked one miracle right after that. And I'm going to prophesy to you, my brother, right now, in the name of Jesus. God is going to start showing you things. He's going to give you dreams and visions, and he's going to talk to you in a way like he never has. And he's going to show you just exactly how to do this and where to step and where not to step. Amen. I believe it with all of my heart. Hallelujah. So I was... I was praying over getting started now in Houston, and I did not know what to do. God came to me again with another night vision, and he showed me this man drive up in this parking lot. He was in a black Cadillac, and a woman was in the front seat with him. That's all I knew, but I saw that. And so I called about this place where they said that they there was availabilities to rent. It's in the strip center. And so this man told me, he said, yes. He said, well, I'm interested. I told him we wanted it for a church. He said, yes, I'm interested, because I didn't know. And he said, I'll be there. And he told me the time. And he said, so you'll know that it's me. He said, I'll be in a black Cadillac. And he said, my wife will be with me in the car. And I said, that's great. Well, I knew it was God. I mean, how much more do we have to decipher this? I knew what God had. So sure enough, I met him, and we sealed the deal, and we got a little bitty small room, probably maybe about a quarter as big as this room. It was small, and that's where we started. First service, we had three people. It was my husband and I and another lady. That's what we started with. Amen? And so then, of course, it began to explode, and it began to take off, and we filled up that little quarter of this room, and so it was a strip center, so we took another part of it, and then we took another part of it, and then we took another part of it, and pretty soon we took that whole strip. Amen. That was ours, you know. And so and God told me, this is another thing, you need to hear this, my brother. He told me, he said, this man's name is Howard. And I said, okay. I didn't know any Howards. So I said, okay, but God told me that. And so when he came, he said, by the way, he said, my name is John Howard. I said, praise God. I didn't tell him that, but I knew I was at the right place. That was the man I was supposed to talk to.
Yeah.
He told me names. He will make it very, very definite. Amen.
Yeah.
And he will to you. I believe this. Because God told me to preach this sermon today.
Amen.
He gave me this sermon just as quick as I was asked. Amen. I preached somewhere else, but I got this sermon before I got there. Amen?
Amen?
God said, this is what you need to share at this place. You need to get this place so supercharged with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, that things are going to come out of the woodwork from the north, the south, the east, and the west.
Amen.
We're calling them in. We speak to the spirits of men and women, boys and girls, and we say, come.
Yes.
Come from the north, the south, east, west. I don't know which it is, but you do.
Yes.
But anyway, hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, you bring them in.
Yes.
Glory to God. So anyway, we filled up all that. And I told him that we would like to start, and we would like to have more space, and we wanted to do a daycare. So he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, they had a lot of land. He said, right back here, he said, I'll build you a building, whatever, however big you want. He said, I'll build it back there. And he told me what the lease would be and what have you. And I said, well, that sounds good to me. So he built it. And we got in there, and we started a daycare with 49 kids. That's what when we first started, that was our license. And we started there, and we moved up there. And God just began to bless and bless and bless. And our auditorium, I don't know what it would have set if you just really put chairs in there and counted it, but it would have probably held 200-300, I guess. I don't really know. And but God just filled us up, amen. And we were in a wonderful location, amen. That helped. The location. It helped, but God knew where it was. And so he put us there.
Yes.
And the people began to come. And God began to do a mighty work. And then we had to leave that precious area. But God said, now it's time. You're gonna buy property. I don't know, brother, how you all is going to come about. But God's going to give you all a place where you've got an address that people can come right there to it.
Yes.
At any time. You can
Amen.
Have your function. You can have your ladies' meetings, your men's meetings,
yes.
Your youth meetings, whatever. You've got an address that you can call your own. Amen. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but he's fixing to do
yes.
it. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. By the name of the Lord, I confess
Amen.
It. I decree a thing, and it shall happen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And so God just worked that out, and this property came up. And it was about $500,000. And I said, Lord, we can't buy that. We don't have that kind of money. So my daughter went with me, and that was back when you had all these big video cameras, you know, and you went around. Well, so we still got that videotape. And she went, and she went all around taking pictures. It was huge. The back building was a tilt wall brick building, and it had the upstairs and downstairs. It had 9,000 square feet. And then there was a big building in the front. It was 6,000 square feet, and it was about 4.5 acres. And they wanted, I think it was about $500,000. And I said, well, Lord, he was going to carry the note. Hear this, brother. Praise God. He was going to carry the note, but we still had to have 10%. And 10% of $500,000, see, it's not rattling change, amen? You know, and
yes.
We didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I said, God, I don't know how this is going to be. But we began to try to do something. So we sold our house. We sold all the savings bonds that we had saved. Gary stayed and he retired from the military. Praise God, now I've got his pension. Glory be to God. And I still got my benefits to go to the commissary. Amen. And I got some of the best medical insurance you ever heard about. Amen. God bless me through it all the way. Praise God. So anyway, we just didn't know how we do, but we sold our house. We sold the bonds. We raked and we scraped and we did everything we could. Our people, they weren't that wealthy. They didn't have it. But you know, I still cannot tell you exactly how I did it, but I know he did it. Amen.
Yes.
God got that down payment together for us, and we paid that down payment. And I think our monthly payment, we were going to be able to pay it off in 15 years. And I want to think it was about $2,500. And then come to find out, those other people, oh my Lord, it wasn't Mr. Howard anymore that was over the things. A nephew or somebody had taken over. And when I went to talk to him about staying in that place before we did this other, he talked to me like I was trash. He said, oh, you all are just in it for the money. Said, you're just like some of the people in that time. If you know who I'm talking about, I'm not naming names. Said, you're just in it for the money. And said, he just talked terrible to me. And we couldn't even meet he wanted $5,000-something a month to keep that lease there if we'd stay there. And we couldn't do it. We had to do something. And so then come to find out, they said I was still in the lease and I had to pay, I don't remember what we were paying then, maybe $3,500, I don't know what it was. But we still had to pay that for so long a time, supposedly, to end that lease. So now we had to pay that, and we had to pay the new payment on the new building. And it's like, oh, God. But God.
Yes.
We made it. I tell you what, I did lots of praying. Lots of praying in the Holy Ghost. But God helped us, and we did it. And we went on to finish that. We bought 5 more acres next to it. Everything was paid off. We had a private school, and we had a license for 341 students in the daycare, and we were maxed out. My husband came upstairs. We lived up then. We lived up over the top there, and he came and he said, "Honey, I think we've overbooked." He said, "I don't think we're going to be able to take all these kids." I looked out the window and all up and down the streets, and we had a big paved parking lot. It was full of cars. They were everywhere. And I said, "Well, I don't know. We'll just see. We'll do what we can do." But God brought them in. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was totally paid for. God did a mighty miraculous work, and it wasn't by no multiplied thousands of dollars being given to us. That happened very, very few times, but God did it.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, he's going to do it here.
Amen.
You guys have a mind to work.
Amen.
You've got a mind to do something for God.
Amen.
And God has called you to this place for this time.
Yes.
And he's going to do it. But I'm telling you one thing, folks, Jesus is fixing to come.
Amen.
He is fixing to come. If you're not ready, you need to get ready. Hallelujah. I heard a couple of older people say the other day, and they were on television, but it really did encourage my heart. One of them is an older gentleman, white-haired, and he said Jesus spoke to him, and he said, "I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon."
Amen.
Amen. And this other gentleman that said it, he was also an elderly man. I mean, we're not talking little kids. We're talking grown people that are grown and older. Amen. And he said that the Lord told, he showed him being taken up in the rapture. And he said, I was just like I was in my body, and I knew when I was taken up. He said, folks, Jesus is fixing to come. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
We're ready. Yeah. We are, well, the past ready when we look at it. Amen. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Well, is not this that day? Amen. This is that day. Hadabo Kadabo Shabaraka Lebo Landa Bakaya Maniabo Sotoya. Now I have said all of this to say that if you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, I want you to be assured that God wants you to have it. And I want you to come, and that we're going to lay hands on you. And we're believing you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you beforehand, don't ever be discouraged. You may have to be like I was. I went several times and kept praying, but I got it. Amen. And some people get it the minute you lay hands on them. I can't explain it. I don't know why. Some people are just more maybe ready, yielded. Call it what you will. But I'm telling you, God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost. This is going to be one of the most rocking Holy Ghost filled places that you can imagine. My brother that I got saved, he calls me now a rock star because I'm into all this preaching and stuff. So I'm his rock star. Well, this place is going to rock. It's going to rock with the things of the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. Amen. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe God. Amen. To fill you. Is there anybody here that does not have their prayer language? Amen. Hallelujah. This is the time. This is your time. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. You do not have the evidence of speaking in other tongues yet?
No.
Okay, we're going to pray for you. And whatever the Spirit of the Lord prompts you to say, you just say it. You won't maybe understand it, but you just let the Holy Ghost lead you, okay? Okay. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, as we lay hands upon our brother, Father, I just ask you by the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon him and fill him, Lord, with tongues of utterance, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Koramandanda Braya Bikina Sela Makanda Roba Shara Handaraya Bokoto Bolabasatada Ye Mama Mama Baba 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 Nasura Amana Amukuto Barashali Yandaria Keva Sala. If you say, if you feel anything to say it, you may not understand why you're going to say it, but you just speak it because that's the Holy Ghost wanting to speak. Koma na 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 Kita Roba Doi Leba Sidi Bikina. Thank you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Koyama koyama shika baba baba riata. Lena lena na 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 kora bara diya kori nde de diya. Jesus roma kasala diya kanda. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You just keep believing, my brother. Hallelujah. 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 Is anybody else? Has everybody else got the Holy Ghost? Amen. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. I just want you just to be obedient to the Lord. And, you know, we all have our own mindset on things. But wherever you are, if you're at home in your prayer closet, in your bedroom, out at the park, wherever you are, just continue to seek the Lord and just say, Lord, just give me that my prayer language because I need to be able to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ask God for it. But I believe to my soul that I have delivered to you what God told me to deliver to you. So now what we do with what God tells us, that's up to us. But I'm going to hear some good reports. I am. Some of you are going to get it, and it may be when you're not even thinking about it. I've heard all kinds of testimonies of people receiving the Holy Ghost when that was a father's thought from their mind, and they began to speak in tongues. Just yield your body and let the Lord fill you, because he has great and mighty things that he wants to do for you. And thank you all for this opportunity. I have loved it. Praise God. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together. Haven't you been blessed today?
Yes.
I love this dear saint. I want to just open the altar for one more thing, besides those that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are seeking the Lord for direction right now, and you just really, really need the Lord to just illumine your path, maybe you're in the middle of a career shift, just what we would consider a biggie. Okay, so, you know, looking for a new house, looking for a new job, whatever it is. If you're in that kind of situation and you would like Sister Naomi to pray for you, I just want to ask you to come up. We're going to open the altars for that kind of need as we dismiss today. If that's not you, feel free to go if you've got obligations. Before you leave, I want to announce two things to you. We have a new book on the book table. It's called The Miracles of Azusa Street, True Stories of the Miracles of Azusa Street and Beyond. This book will bless you. This is where we're heading, church, because Jesus said that the latter house will be greater than the former. And everything we read about in the book of Acts that was so glorious, we're going to see it in our day and then some. Well, this happened 100 years ago in 1906 to 1909. It was a 3-year period in California. And the stories in here will knock your socks off. People with legs growing out. People, all kinds of miracles. Crazy stuff. We just don't hear about every day. But if you want a book that will really excite you in the Holy Ghost, pick this up on the book table on your way out. Also remember, next Sunday night is our prayer and worship night here. We're going to have a regular service here Sunday morning. And then Sunday evening, we're just going to come and just soak in the Holy Ghost and seek Him and press into Him. So just come dressed comfortable. That's at 6 p.m., 6 to 8 p.m. next Sunday night. Come, and if you know somebody that's, you know, they're not obligated with their church on a Sunday night, and you just say, hey, you know, you want to come and be blessed, we're just going to worship, we're going to seek God, it'll be here next Sunday night at 6. Amen? So if that's you, before, as we go today, if you want Sister Naomi to pray over you and just wait on the Lord for some clear direction for you, I just want to make that available. Just come and let her pray and be blessed. God bless you. We love you in Jesus. Amen.